Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a beautiful Saturday night after a great time listening to my hero, the man whom I love to listen to, Mr. Donald Trump. And it is June the 26th of the year of our Lord, 2021. Beautiful Saturday night. I'm here in Missouri, Usama Dakdar, with you. I'm really excited about what's coming to this country. Maybe, I don't know, just some feeling or what, but we'll see as the Lord will continue to reveal himself in our life. But with me tonight, as usual, our producer and my co-host, Christy Johnson from Mississippi. Hello, Christy, and how are you doing?
Well, Usama, I am encouraged and I'm excited about hearing President Donald Trump, I call him President, speaking tonight. And it was really encouraging to hear him speak the truth about the election, about many things that are happening now in our country under the Biden administration. I thank the Lord for his boldness to speak the truth. And you know what? I have said before, I know you'll remember, that for him to consider running again is really asking a lot. It's like here you build a beautiful building, then someone comes and knocks it down, and now you have to come and be the manager of the building again, you know.
Fix it up.
So I really realize that it must be really heartbreaking for him to see what's happening.
Especially when we know he does not need that, Christy. He did not need it first time. He does not need it second time. We needed him or somebody like him to fix this country. And I love the energy he has. I mean, Lord have mercy. I was listening to Biden this morning on one end of the news. He was talking for like a few seconds. And I said, man, this is sick. The man cannot even talk. He does not have his mind in his head. And God have mercy on his old age and his inability to speak. And here is Mr. Trump speaking like somebody talked 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I couldn't, I mean, is this live or is this some old one when he was young? No, it's still live. He's still strong.
Yes.
He's still with so much energy and he's so funny. I like his attitude. I like how he mocks the media. I like how he speaks the truth with boldness. And man, it is great, but it's not funny of what's happening in this country. It's not funny, Christy.
Well, Usama, you certainly are correct on that. It is not funny, but you know what? Sometimes you have to be able to laugh at the foolishness that we see in human beings when they don't know or care about God. I think that is a critical issue. People who believe you can murder a baby in the womb, you can change the sex of a human being from one sex to the other just because they feel like it or they don't feel like the sex they are, and they're wanting to do this to children when you can tell people that they can be whatever they think they are, but yet at the same time, and this is where the humor comes in, if you have a skin color of a certain color, you are that color. So I want to know why I can't think one morning when I wake up that I'm black, or I can't think one morning when I wake up that I am Asian. You know what this is like, or maybe I'm Hispanic. You know, one day I'm Hispanic, one day I'm black,
Christy,
one day I'm white.
Christy, but I think you can change your color, because remember Michael Jackson started as a black man and he ended as a white woman. So why can't he do that?
Well, I'm telling you that no one ever thought that Michael Jackson, seriously, became a white woman, if you want to say that, or a white person, because in his mind he thought that. He had to do a lot of things to change. But the point I'm making, Usama, is if you have that little respect for God, who is the creator, he created us in his image. If it's all about what you think in your head, okay, then that tells you a baby has no right to live because they can't tell you what they think they are. It is so much a sign of how godless the scientific community is. Might not be the average American. And it reminds me of the novel Frankenstein, when doctors were performing, or this particular doctor was performing an experiment that took him outside the bonds of what is, you know, allowed by God. And that's what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah, but I like also the snake.
The what?
The story of the snake, Mr. Trump, how he say about the snake.
It's a very good story.
That is a great parable. That's a great story.
Yes.
To let the American people what they're doing, especially when it comes to the Muslims who have come in this country now in the thousands from all over the Muslim world, because that's exactly what the Muslim and our congressman want, and that's what the leaders of the Muslim in America want. Load this country with the snake of the Muslim who are coming to this country as a wonderful, fuzzy, good, loving people, peaceful people, and that doesn't even count the one who coming through the borders, which we do not know where they're coming from. We're talking about 120 countries, people coming to America from all over the world, including the six countries which Mr. Trump have made a ban that you cannot come from. Now Mr. Biden opening the door. Everybody, come on from Libya. Come on from Somalia, from Ilhan Omar country. Come on from Yemen. Come on. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. Just come. Come to America. Legally, illegally, we would love to have you, especially if you are a snake.
You know, Usama, it makes me sad to think that there are Christians who will tell you that is what Christians should do, that that's the Christian way, the godly way. But I always come back to this and I go, you know, you're making a mistake. As I understand it, you can't get into heaven just because God is good. You know, you don't go to heaven. There is a limit on your membership in the kingdom of God. It isn't just everybody come on in. And this is where Christians don't recognize there's a difference between what is clean and what is unclean, which is a whole, that is a whole theme of the Old Testament, that there's a difference between what is clean and unclean. And that lesson, I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Usama, was to recognize the parables that Jesus told about those who went into the wedding wearing their own garment. They didn't wear the garment that was provided by the host of the wedding. It's telling
and
you.
He was thrown out.
Yeah, they were thrown out into destruction. So we are not just everybody come on in. That's not how it works. You come as God has provided a covering for you, the blood of the lamb, the difference between what is clean and unclean. We had to have a sacrifice to give us cleansing.
Yeah, but I like the snake because it takes me to the beginning of the fall. Of Eve.
Yeah.
Remember that the Satan used the snake, and the snake was the wisest of all the creatures God made.
Yeah.
The snake did not. I know for sure we do not know how the snake looks like at the beginning. He had feet to walk in. He was not like we see snake today, and that's why because God cursed him or the snake after the fall because he was used by the devil to speak to.
Right.
To speak to Eve. And it's always when I see a snake, I think of the devil. When I see a snake, I know that the devil is very sneaky, and I use the word sneaky from the Egyptian words. I don't know if it means anything in English, but he's smooth move in. He's smooth get into a place, and if Satan get in a place smoothly, it's destruction. And I don't think it's very wise for us to hug the snake or keep the snake. And I've talked about snake many times in the past when I say there's no problem for any family today to a father or a mother to bring baby snakes and put them inside the house. I'm not talking about a frozen snake like Mr. Trump is in a story. I'm talking about just baby snakes, a foot long, a foot and a half long. Mm-hmm. And they're beautiful creatures, and they will not harm your children. Trust me. These little snakes, whom you can hold in your hand and touch them by your hand, and you can put them under the pillow for your children to play with, there's nothing wrong about having the snake. There's no harmful. But guess what, Christy? When the right time comes and that snake get big and bigger and become a poisonous and become a harmful, literally, it will bite your children and he will poison them. And if you leave them to get a little bit longer, they will swallow your children. I've seen pictures, true pictures, of snakes in South America who swallow a full man. I could not imagine what this man went through, that the snake will squeeze him so tight and close him and didn't swallow him. They actually, there were two people, two people together, and one was swallowed by the snake. The other one went to the town before he was swallowed. His snake was, tightened himself around his friend. He ran to town, came back, and they searched for the snake, and they found the snake, and they have the pictures of his body inside the snake. They had to kill the snake and cut it open and take his body out, his friend's body out, so they can bury him. So a snake can swallow you alive, for heaven's sake. So when it comes to Islam, it is the work of the devil, Allah, Satan, who know how to use the snake at the beginning of the fall, and he can use the snake again today by bringing Muslims to America for the destruction of the freedom and the liberty and everything we know about America, and also for the hope to destroy the church in America and the Christian believers in America.
Well, Usama, let me read you what I wrote about today's program, because hopefully, we're on the same page here. I wanted us to talk about words, the words people say, and it's kind of fitting because things that Trump was saying today, he spoke the truth, and people need to hear the truth. But this is what I wrote before I heard the speech. The Bible says words have the power of life and death. We are warned that we will give account for every idle word. We'll be judged by our own words. It's all about truth versus lies. Some lies will prove fatal. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. End times are full of deception, lies, and false teachings. Muslims do not worship the God of the Bible, yet they and many churches say they do. The Quran claims to be a new revelation. It's not. There's no freedom in Islam. Matthew 24:4, Jesus answered them and said, take heed that no man deceives you. Usama warns that Islam wants to destroy the USA, and we share the truth about Islam from its sources, the Quran and the Hadith, God Save America, and Protect Israel. So those are, the things that we know about the words that people say, and you think about the lies and all of the things that have been done. It's just like Trump brought up tonight, and I'm glad he brought it up, when he said that hydroxychloroquine could maybe save lives. They completely shut down the dispensing of this medication and made where doctors couldn't even dispense it, even the doctors that knew it would help. And now they come out and say, tests are showing it does help.
But Christy, if they have used that medicine at the beginning of this pandemic, we would not have this pandemic.
I know. And that's why what I'm saying about words have the power of life and death, because they wanted to say Trump was a liar and it wasn't true. You remember that? that he was endangering people's lives by saying that. Oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's crazy. People are going to die because of what he said. That actually, those are the words that caused people to die. Those are the words that caused people to lose their life. And that's what I was referring to, is that you've got to be accountable. And one day these people are going to be accountable for the things they have said that have cost lives, not only physical lives, but spiritual lives. People have gone to hell because they believed lies. And I'm sad to say, we know that what Islam teaches is a lie. And people have died and gone to hell because of those lies. And, you know, we make mistakes sometimes. We don't always know everything. We might say something and have to correct it. That's not the same thing as deliberately telling people things that you know are not true. I mean, look at what's happened because of the election. We were told, I believe, lies about what happened in the election. Lies about what happened on January the 6th when the protesters went to the Capitol. Do you know, Usama, that people are still in jail over that? And it is based on a lie. Now the research that's being done is coming out to say that there were CIA and FBI agents embedded with the Trump rally. Now, you would think that if they were there and they thought there was a threat to the Capitol, that there would be, a planned defense, because these people knew what was going to happen. A lot of folks are wondering, are those the people that actually stormed the Capitol? Are those the ones that started the violence? And you know what's sad? I'd like to say that I don't believe the FBI or the CIA would do that, but now I don't know because of lies.
In the 8 years, let me put it this way, in the 8 years of Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, he put enough Muslims, he put enough lefties, socialists, and communists, the FBI and the CIA, beyond American people's imagination.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have told me, first of all, I thought America would have a Muslim president 20 years after September 11, not just 7 years after September 11, number one. And I know that Obama or whoever is going to be the Muslim president will put some Muslims in power. But if you have told me we'll have the head of the CIA, John Brennan, a Muslim convert, I would tell you it's impossible. It is impossible. It would take maybe 50 years after September 11th to have the head of CIA a Muslim convert. But guess what? It all happened quick. It all happened fast. So I said, and I'll repeat myself again, we will never have a clue how much damage Barack Hussein Obama did to America in his 8 years, 7 years after September 11th, because he planted a lot of seeds. And I know, Christy, that when a seed is planted, trees grow. And when trees grow, lots of fruit will fall. So we have no clue. And now we are in the third term of Mr. O'Biden for Obama, which means this could be even worse than his 8 years. Because now O'Biden can do more than what Obama did in his 8 years, because Obama is not in the picture, but his plans, his agenda, his seed, his work, which he accomplished in his 8 years, now back to work in more faster speed, higher level, deeper level, beyond the American people imagination. So I'm praying that these days will be cut shorter. When I listen to Mr. Trump tonight, I'm hoping and praying that truly we end the corruption of the election and we can win 70, 80 seats in 2022, because that will stop, that will crumble O'Biden from doing the work of Obama. Otherwise, as Mr. Trump said, there will not be America to fight for in 2024. There will not be America to fight for.
Yeah. And, you know, Usama, it's very interesting you said that about Obama's third term, because Obama said that just recently. He said that. This is like his third term. Now, you know, he's a little bit on the arrogant side, and I think that he's kind of worried that Biden might actually be getting credit for the things that he's actually responsible for. I think that's why he's sort of coming out in the open a little bit, and he did say that, that this is like his third term. So you're exactly right. And the sad thing about it is that so many Christians even voted for Obama, and they were so, so completely deceived about who he was.
I could not call them Christian. I call them Christian name only. Call them deceived people of their salvation. These things are Christian, but they're not. Even if they were ministers, even they were prophesying, even they were performing miracles and casting demons in the name of Jesus, these are not Christians. These are the ones whom Jesus said, "Away from me, you evildoers, I do not know you." And they're in every church. They are in my home church in Venice. Whenever you see a Democrat, the Democrats are two. Literally, there are two. The one who are deceived and the one who are deceiver. No more, no less. Like Muslims are two. The one who is deceived and the one who is deceiver. There's no third one. It's just the end of it. That is the whole entire story. So if you are a Democrat, you are one of the two. You are deceived or you are a deceiver. There is no Christian Democrat. When I talk about deceived, I mean, you're deceived in your heart. You think you're a born-again Christian, but you're not. You may think because you go to church and you do some good deeds, that means you're saved. No. If you are a Christian, for sure you cannot be a Democrat. It's like a guy who is, his business is rob banks. So Monday to Friday, he works so hard and he rob as many banks as he can. And on Saturday, he rests. And on Sunday, he go to church. And he may think he's a Christian. No, you're not. You're a thief.
Yeah. You know,
and
you
so
saw me.
The Democrats who are nothing but wicked, ungodly people. They're wicked, ungodly people. Even if you are not supporting their wicked deed, you vote for them. You are supporting their wicked deed. End of story.
Yeah, I think that's why the Bible tells us so clearly that we have to seek for the truth. It's not okay for us to support things that are ungodly, but maybe those things are hidden. We have to have a knowledge of the Word of God, and as little as someone may know the Word of God, and because I know there's people that, you know, they maybe don't know the Bible or maybe don't even have access to a Bible. But if you know Jesus, he is the truth. He's the way. He's the life. And the Holy Spirit will help you discern between truth and error. He'll lead you into all truth. So really, truly, the deception exists when people do not seek the truth. That's why I said my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you've rejected knowledge, I will reject you. Why is he saying that? It's the knowledge of the truth. You have to want to know the truth. If you don't want to know the truth, trust me, there's a million things out there that will deceive you. A million things.
Exactly.
Well, Yusama,
exactly.
I wanted to ask you, you had made a comment about someone, and I'm going to ask you about him because I don't know if that was something you wanted to share on the show. But I wanted to share with people about a young man named Ben Burkhoff. He has been a reporter for, he's reporting, I believe, for America's Voice, or Real America's Voice, but he's been down on the border. I believe he's also been available for the staff at OAN, which is One America's News. He has been down there on the border giving the only real hands-on on one side of the border, on the other side of the border, telling the true story about what's happening at our southern border, about the lives that have been lost, about the women and children that have been abused and trafficked, about the drug dealers that have been putting their drugs across while the Border Patrol's busy trying to take care of a ton of children that are coming across. So he's done all this reporting. He and he was on his way with his family traveling, and on his way back to the border after, I believe, a rally with the One America tour. And he was involved in an accident. His wife is in serious condition. Their child was injured too, and please be praying for them. This is a man who loves the Lord. He's a young guy, but his parents were missionaries. He loves the Lord, and he's this reporter, and he does an excellent job. He's very bold and very tender-hearted, and yet he realizes this open border is so evil, but yet he doesn't hate the people that are coming across. It's the open door policy that's causing those people to be in harm as well. So anyway, please be praying for Ben Burkhoff. There's a Christian version of GoFundMe, and it's called Give. Oh gosh, I can't remember it. I'll try to give it before the end of the show. I have to look it back up. I didn't know there was a Christian version. But anyway, you had mentioned something about Dan Bongino.
No, I was just getting a link on my phone from him. Maybe he's talking about the same thing. I didn't have a chance to open it yet.
Ah, well, Dan Bongino is also a patriot, and these are the people that I try to encourage people. Look for these alternative sources of news. I put them up on our slideshow every week. One America News, Real America's Voice, Newsmax to a degree, and then also these other podcasts and people that are very patriotic, and they've had to go to other media because they're getting kicked off right and left, just like a story that we had recently shared, and you post it on Facebook, and it comes up with a big thing. This is false information. You see, that's what's happening. So we got to go to these alternative sources.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's pray for this gentleman who was hurt. His name again is what?
His name is Ben Burkhoff, and his wife is the one who was most seriously injured. They were all involved in an accident, and let's pray for him. That would be awesome.
All right. Let's pray right now, if you don't mind, Christy.
Yes.
Father God, we come to you tonight. We thank you because you are in full control. You are in full charge of our life and of this young man, his wife, and his child, Lord. I do not know how even to pronounce his name, but you know him, and you know what he's going through right now. We know, Lord, that you may say the word, and it will be done, that the doctors, with their help or without their help, can assist his wife and assist him and all those who are involved in this accident. And you can say the word, Lord, and they will be complete miracle performed and complete healing will take place. But, Lord, we do not know why things happen to people. We always complain about why things happen to good people. There is nobody's good except you, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But help us, Lord, to when we see things like this happen, that we will not hesitate to cry out to you. For you said in your word, two or three gather, you are in the midst. And if you ask anything according to your will, you will give. So we pray, Lord, for healing, for providing for the needs, and for
Thank you, Jesus.
To be sincere in their cry to you about this family and the other people who were involved in the accident. May you continue to bless this family, cover them with your peace, with your joy, with your comfort, that they will submit and surrender to your will in their life, and you will perform, once again, Lord, a miracle in this situation. We pray, Lord, that all the needs will be met, and he will go back to continue to work and do what he does, and you will use him in even greater way, in greater and mighty ways than you have used him in the past. It strengthens his faith and his family faith in you, that they will continue to trust in you, believe in you, and be strong in their faith. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Usama. And I know that it matters what we pray for. It matters what we pay attention to. And I thank you for that prayer. I've had so many people calling me and requesting prayer recently. It's been really unusual. But I also know that when we go through these times of difficulty, sometimes it's the very purpose that God has to draw people to him more closely, to teach us that we can pray and receive answers for real things. And I've just had so many people calling and asking me to pray for various things. But yet I'm also getting responses about how God is answering prayers. And just like today or yesterday, you know, they may seem like simple things, but people, you know, letting you know, wow, thank you for praying for me because, you know, I saw something change. This prayer was answered, you know. That's how we bless one another and encourage one another, is to ask for prayer, to seek from the Lord. He said, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and don't have because you ask amiss. We can pray for the will of God, which we know is to do good, to bless others, to reach them for Christ. When we pray and we see those prayers answered, it might not be tomorrow that the prayer is answered. It might be down the road. But in some cases, especially this week, I've had people call me and go, wow, thank you for praying. God answered this prayer right after we got off the phone. So, you know, it's not me, Usama. It's not me. But it is the goodness of God that he wants us to call on him when we have these problems, when we have these needs. Turn to him. Call on him. He wants his name to be honored. So I just want to say, Jesus Christ has answered simple prayers for a child who was misbehaving, for a person that was needing help with a problem of employment, for someone else who was telling me they were experiencing a lot of depression. You know, you think that you got to have a big, fancy prayer. You don't. You just have to know Jesus and call on him. And when he answers those prayers, you give him the honor and the glory for doing it. And you're helping someone else to grow in their faith as well.
God is good. God is good. Well, Christy, amen. I do not know where we're going. You are the producer. Lead me to the next topic you want to talk about tonight.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that I was really disturbed when I saw Biden sitting there negotiating with the representatives of Afghanistan. I see him sitting with other leaders of the world, and my thought is, oh my gosh, here's some more powerful leaders from countries that we really truly don't know if they're our friends or our foes. And he's sitting there demonstrating to them that we are weak. And Biden is crazy. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's disheartening.
If you tell me he's crazy, I would say not. He's not crazy. He's mentally deficient. He have mental deficiency, which means he does not know what he's doing. I don't think Biden is crazy. He does not know.
Well,
where he's at.
Crazy isn't a diagnosis. I'm saying the things he does
are extremely weird.
And someone was talking about him whispering as he was discussing what he had. How he had told people, oh, it's a employee's market. You can ask for whatever you want. And he's, you know, like, it's a joke. He's a president. I mean, you know, Trump doesn't talk like that. He makes comments and says things that are humorous or maybe even offensive. But, you know, he knows the position he's in. You know, Trump even said the other day, well, he forgets that he's president. Well, no doubt. But the sad, you know.
He does not know he's a president.
Yeah, he said that, you know.
I know for sure he does not know.
Well, once in a while, they probably tell him, hell yeah, everybody in the country loves you. You won more votes than any president in history. Yeah, I'm sure he did. Anyway, another thing I would just mention, and just keep this in mind. Be paying attention to what's going on. Frank's speech and Mike Lindell, you've had an opportunity to be on Frank's speech with Lindell TV, Usama, and keep paying attention to what's going on there. There's some really, really important things that are happening related to not only the election and the fraud that's gone on, but also a number of other topics that are very important for Christians to know. And there's some interesting things that have been coming out, for example, about the vaccine. And I'm not sure if you want to go into that tonight, but we've seen stories come out like 153 employees fired or resigned from a Texas hospital for refusing COVID-19 vaccinations. So what's happening is there have been many, many disturbing things happen when people are getting this vaccination. And these individuals who work in a medical environment do not want to be forced to take this vaccine. It tells you that there's obviously something wrong, that they were willing to lose their jobs rather than be forced to take this vaccine. And I think this is something that more and more people need to be aware that if they're going to force this on you, there's something wrong. We are now at, I've got a magazine here from Biloxi, you know, and it's showing some things about our particular county. And this particular county chart is showing about the infectious rate of COVID-19. So here's what it's showing by date, the daily number of cases that are occurring. This is a small area. We're not New York City. We're not Detroit, Michigan, or anything. But it's showing that on January the 13th of 2001, the daily case numbers at their highest was 251 in a day. And that's quite a few for this small area. But now, come to June 15th, the highest number of cases there, and then it drops off, is 5. So we've gone from 251 to 5. And then it shows you that the number of people in this same area who are fully vaccinated is 26%. 26%. But these cases have dropped off. Now, we have some audio from a doctor who's saying, look, the pandemic is over. Why are they still trying to force people to get these vaccinations and now saying that children need to be vaccinated? It's very suspicious. And right now, I'm looking out my window. You know where I live, Usama, and one of the main streets is full of cars. We are having what's called Scraping the Coast, and it is a car show. All kinds of people come. They have their cars all set, you know, Scraping the Coast. It's a certain type of car lovers. I don't know what they call themselves, but they like to have their cars way low to the ground, and they fire them up and make all kinds of noise and everything. So if you hear any of that, I apologize. But, I mean, they're everywhere. They're everywhere here, and they're here because we are not under all of these insane mandates. People are not having to wear masks. We're not going through all that. And 26% have been vaccinated. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. All right. Well, would you mind playing that soundbite for me? I'd like to hear the doctor once again because I'm really, I believe in what he said. These are very sincere people. They're very educated people. They're very skillful people, and they're very careful in what they're saying. They're not just people sitting on the couch making some noises or making a video. These are people, and I don't know if you'll be able to watch this video again online, but here's the soundbite. And we have the video as well.
Yeah, let me tell you who is going to be speaking. This is Dr. Peter McClough. He's a MD. He is a doctor of internal medicine and board-certified cardiologist. He'll introduce himself at the beginning, but I am going to use these to tell you in part of the video, you'll see a question that was asked to him. He doesn't repeat the question, so I'll repeat the question each time. So here we go. This is who he is, and he's introducing himself.
Dr. Peter McClough, and I'm an internist and cardiologist and academic physician, professor of medicine at Texas A&M College of Medicine on the Baylor Dallas campus. I think this whole pandemic from the beginning was about the vaccine. So I think all roads lead to the vaccine. And what it means, there are already places in Southeast Asia and Europe, they're laying the groundwork for a compulsory vaccination. I mean compulsory. That means somebody pins you down to the ground and puts a needle in you. That's how bad stakeholders want vaccination. Listen, it's not of cost. You don't have to pay for it. It's all provided. There are people or stakeholders, they do want a needle in every arm. This needle in every arm is a very important moniker. Why? Why do you want a needle in an arm? Let's take COVID recovered. Can't get the virus. Can't receive it. It has nothing to do. Why would they ever want a needle in the arm of a COVID recovered patient? Why? Three studies show higher safety events. See, the tension that Americans are feeling right now as they try to keep their jobs and go to work is they know they can die of the vaccine. That's the problem. If the vaccine was like water and you just got it, no side effects, who wouldn't take it? Say, hey, I'll comply. They got my Social Security number anyway in a database. I'm already marked. I'll just get marked. But no, there's something very unique about this vaccine. It's something about injecting something into a body that is so important to stakeholders that it doesn't matter. Kids 12 years old told they can make their own decision on this, and it could be their fatal decision? Think about that. North Carolina just passed that. Oh, kids 12 years old can decide on their own. There are over 4,000 dead Americans. There's over 10,000 dead people in Europe that die on days 1, 2, and 3 after the vaccine. Why are we pushing this in a way where people's jobs and their education and their livelihood decide on a decision that's potentially fatal? The tension, you can cut it with a knife. There are parents who say, listen, I want my kid to go to college this year, but I don't want to lose him to the vaccine. They know what's going on. The internet is full of these cases. Blood clots, strokes, immediate death. Now, I'm fortunate. I have not directly lost a patient to the vaccine. I told you, most got vaccinated in December, January, February. Based on the safety data now, I can no longer recommend it. I can't recommend it. It's passed all the thresholds to being a safe product. It's not a safe product. None of them are. It's not just Johnson & Johnson. In fact, more of the safety events in the United States have occurred with Moderna and Pfizer. There are now papers written by prominent scientists calling for a worldwide halt in the program. There are prominent virologists, many of them, including Nobel Prize winners, who have said, listen, if we vaccinate people and we create a very narrow, incomplete library of immunity, which is what the vaccine is, the vaccines are all targeted to the original Wuhan spike protein, which is long gone. That's extinct. Patients are getting vaccinated to something that doesn't even exist anymore. That Wuhan spike protein is gone. We're hoping the immunity covers the other variants. But that narrow immunity is a setup. It's just like giving everybody a narrow spectrum antibiotic. If you did that, what would happen? We grow up superbugs. There are warnings out there saying don't do this. Don't vaccinate the entire world. All we're going to do is set ourselves up for a superbug that's going to really wipe out populations. So for many reasons, the vaccine, indiscriminate vaccination, is a horrendous idea. It's a horrendous bioweapon that's been thrust onto the public. And it's going to cause great personal harm, which it already has. Thousands of people have lost their lives. I've never lost a direct patient, but I've had my patients lose their family members, lots of them. I filled out a safety report on a patient who developed blood clots after one of the Pfizer Moderna vaccine, and I'm telling you, it took half an hour to do it. It was many pages, and each page said, warning, federal offense, punishable by severe fines and penalties if I falsified a report. All those thousands of Americans that have died with the vaccine and hospitalizations in the database, I think, are real. And they are far beyond anything we've ever seen. And as a doctor and as a public citizen, I am extraordinarily concerned about the vaccine. The vaccine center right down the street here is empty. I drive past it every day. Americans know. They're talking to each other. The vaccine's not safe. And now the effort is the vaccine stakeholders want kids without parental guidance, and now they want to be in the church. Americans and people worldwide should be extraordinarily alarmed.
There's a whole lot there, Usama, as you can tell. But
yeah.
I want to touch on a couple of things. Just that's just the first part of what he had to say. But one of the things that he said that really struck me, and you know, I hope people picked up on this, he has had patients that he vaccinated for COVID when this was first going on. And he said, luckily, none of his patients died. And that's why I want to make sure people understand what he's saying now.
So he was not against it from the beginning. As a doctor,
right.
He vaccinated many of his patients. But the knowledge he's receiving now, the information he has now, which is fact. It's a factual information, not some fiction, some made-up stuff. The thousands of people who died, and we are not in pandemic anymore. We don't have to put a needle in everybody's arm. This is ridiculous.
You know, that's
you vaccinated enough people. Let me say quickly, Chris, here.
Yeah.
They vaccinated enough people. Let's wait a couple, 3 years to see what else this vaccine will do to us before we vaccinate the rest of us, for heaven's sake.
Well, that's exactly right. And as he will make some additional comments, you know, that this pandemic is basically over. Why are they insisting everybody get this? Now, the other thing he said, and this one is very telling, he said when he had to report bad side effects from this vaccine that he had to fill out, I can't remember if he said 18 pages to 25 pages to report a problem. And he said, and then the whole paperwork is filled with, if you falsify this report, you know, you can be charged with, charged, fined. It's criminal to put a false report out there. Do you realize that there's probably doctors who were fearful of reporting when they saw a side effect?
I guarantee you.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, they make it so tough for doctors to report any problem with vaccine because they don't want to talk about any problem with the vaccine.
That's right. So he's bringing out some really important points, and I'm glad you emphasized this too. He wasn't against this in the beginning. This is a consequence of seeing what's happening over time. So, and I'll just say, yes, I know of a 17-year-old boy. I was called and asked to pray for him because he got the vaccine and immediately went into the hospital in critical condition, was in ICU because of heart problems. So he's since recovering, but this is the kind of thing you don't know whether that doctor reported it or not. Did they report that as a side effect? Or did they go, oh, it's not happened?
Another fact is we know that the people who got sick with corona, they have a natural immune. You don't need injection for those people. You got a few millions of them. Leave them alone. Don't vaccinate them. They don't need it.
Exactly right. All right, here's the next piece, but let me read you what is the next question. This is a question that was asked of him. Why has there been such a relentless focus on mass vaccination as the only way back to normalcy? Yes, Dr. Fauci has emphasized that, so let us play this part. He's answering that question.
I think it's about what the vaccine means. And Whitney Webb gets credit for this. Back in April, she said, aha, I figured this out. This is what globalists have been waiting for. They've been waiting for a way of marking people. That you get in a vaccine, you're marked in a database. And this can be used for trade, for commerce, for behavior modification, all different purposes. And you've seen it right here in Dallas. They've announced, you can't go to a Dallas Mavericks game unless you're vaccinated. You've had people say, listen, you have passports. You had colleges today announce that they're not going to give any credit to natural immunity. Every scientist in the world knows that the natural immunity is way better than the vaccine immunity. If it's about COVID, why don't we have COVID recovered go to the Mavericks games? Why don't we have COVID recovered people freely go to college? Well, why do we have to have faulty vaccine immunity be the priority and have natural immunity not count? See, these types of things make me think that Whitney Webb is correct. This is actually about marking. The vaccine is a way of marking people. It's a way of starting to assert efforts to create compliance, behavior control. Don't forget, the vaccine is just a starter. Now there's going to be updates. There's going to be boosters. They're already prepping people for this. There's going to be more. The vaccine manufacturers are all linked. They're all uniquely indemnified. What medical product is there indemnification where something happens to you, you don't have any recourse? You know, a woman gets vaccinated, a pregnant woman. She has no maternal fetal rights. Something happens to her or her baby, she's out of luck. This is extraordinary what Americans are doing. It's absolutely extraordinary what's being thrust upon us now.
There you go.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, Chris. It is marking the people. And he said something very important here, which is it's not just the first and second shot. How about the 10th and the 50th shot? Because I guarantee you, those people who receive the first and second shot, they're going to take number 3 and number 4 and number 10 and number 12. And who knows, within 15 years, they'll all be dead.
You know, Usama, and I totally see that. But I also see that some people who maybe took that first and second shot, they're going to be notified when they're due for that third one. My question is, for those who go, you know what, I don't want any more of this, what are they going to do to them?
They cannot do that, Christy. You see, one of the study which I, maybe 6 years ago, or so, 6 months ago or so, is about what this vaccine would do to you. It would change your DNA, which means when the coronavirus come back next year with a new shape or a new size or a new format, I don't know how to use the medical vocabulary, but this vaccine immune itself, so it'll come different. Every year is going to be different, every time. So when it comes to the new shape or the new format, well, guess what? They already changed the DNA of all those people who got the first two shots, which means they can only fight the first shape of COVID-19. So COVID-20, COVID-21, COVID-25, it will automatically require new vaccine shot to change the DNA of the people to be able to fight that new virus. Otherwise, without doubt, you're going to get so sick from the new COVID-22, 24, whatever numbers they're going to give to it, you will be very sick and you will die. So you have to. You're already now under the mercy. You're going to take the second and the fifth shot and the 20 shot without even any objection.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no, and I'm going to say no for this reason. I know that's what they believe will happen. I know that's what they intend to happen. But I'm going to tell you, I believe God can change. God can protect you even from that illness. And that's why I believe at this point, and Usama, you may disagree, that people need to get their life in line with the Lord. Because
we're talking about this shot. This is not a vaccine. This is a shot to change the DNA of the people. They already lost the other 10 immune system, which the Lord put in our body to fight different diseases. All the 10 or 20, whatever, how many immune system we have in our body, all of them now change to one thing, which is to fight COVID-19. The other options which our body was made automatically. Listen to me, Christy. Don't stop me from talking, please. Let me finish my thought. I'm already struggling to come up with the right words. Your body, my body, is made to fight 50 disease. Now, when you take these two shots, they change all the 50 system or the 50 way of fighting the 50 disease to all of them work to fight one disease, which is Corona 19. Any new microbe, any new virus, not microbe, any new virus will come to your body. Your body cannot fight it now. Why? Because you change your DNA. You change your system to only fight COVID-19. And they know for sure the new disease will come up. If it's COVID or anything else, you must automatically take the new vaccine to fight the new disease. I'm not talking about the mighty hand of God. God can heal. God can perform miracles. God can do whatever he wants. But people took these two shots, even with the booster coming up for someone, whoever is going to take the booster, they already changed their DNA. They cannot fight other diseases like they used to before they take the shot. If you have not watched or studied this material, you need to educate yourself about this.
No, I have studied it. But what I'm trying to say is, again, because all of that is based on how they will project the fear into people about this. And I don't want to do that, because if you believe God will protect you anyway, or that he can heal your immune system, because you don't know what God can do, and I don't know what God can do, but I do know that an individual who decides not to do this, that they don't want another shot, that God will give them wisdom about what to do. And what I'm talking about, because I'm not a medical doctor, you're not a medical doctor, I know there's doctors who are saying this, but what I am saying is I know the Lord is not less great than this thing that has been done to people. I mean, I know that God can heal their system. But what's going to happen is, because they took these other two shots, they will be bombarded with fearful information, causing them to think they have no option but to go get it. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying?
But Christy, what if, not bombarding by new information or whatever, what if a new virus show up next winter and all those who took the first two shots start dropping dead? Because their body can no longer fight the new virus. They will automatically take the third and the fifth and the 50 shots. If they get another 20 shots, they will take it. Because you're going to have two options. Die with the new disease, your body cannot fight it, or take the new shot.
Well, all I'm going to say, Usama, is I believe there is reason to see that. But personally, I'm not accepting that, because I know that God is greater than that, and I do believe there will be things that come up that will cause people to be fearful.
Maybe God meant it for this very, very powerful disease to come in the end of time, as the scripture foretold. For many people have to die around the world.
It's true. We already know there would be plagues.
So why do you think God will not use this circumstance? Anyway,
What I want to say, Usama, is I don't believe God has marked certain people that they have to die because they took the shots. I just don't believe. It's not a sin to have done this. And we can be forgiven. No, but what I'm not saying it's a sin.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, sometimes we take the wrong medicine, which causes us to take our lives. We will take our lives. I mean, how many times people take just simple shot and they have a bad allergic to it? And if they're not in the hospital, they cannot save their life and they die. Simply because they took a wrong medicine. And my mother-in-law cannot take sulfur. And any disease, any medicine she takes have a little bit sulfur in it, it will ruin her. It will literally, we have to run her to the emergency room. So.
And I know this is true, but Usama, I'm not disputing the medical problems. I am saying that people may not go and get this shot, a third one, and it does not mean it's a death sentence if they don't. Because I don't believe that it's a death sentence,
but Chris,
that has been
not
put.
Not for the sake of argument. If what the doctor said about these two shots already ruined their immune system, it changed their DNA. If they get any type of other virus, they will not be able to fight it. Do you understand what I'm saying? If this is true, it is too late for the millions who took the two shots. It's too late.
If it's true.
Do you understand that?
You have the if. Yes, I understand it. I've been watching this stuff and listening to all of this for weeks, months. I know. But I'm also
saying
that...
So why are you making so positive when it's already very negative, if it is true? We know nothing about what's happening. Okay. Let's end the subject.
So if we don't know, we can't... Okay. If we don't know, I'm only saying
nobody's
going to
take another shot, and all those who take the two shots, they're all going to live forever. Amen. Thank you. Move on. Something else.
I never said that, but thank you.
Oh, so what are you saying? God can perform a miracle. Yes, God can heal all the stupid Democrats and stop destroying this country. I know God can do that, but he will not, because America must be destroyed, because I don't see America in the end of time. America will not be a destroyed country as Democrats think.
I wrote all
control.
About the end of America
all
and
right.
how it would happen.
We're not,
it's
Christy.
A spiritual thing, not a disease, but diseases will come in the end time. I agree with you. But let's go on to what this doctor has to say, because I do think he has a lot of wisdom in what he's presented. And this is what his next section is about. How is the development and the deployment of COVID vaccines a departure from previous vaccine development and safety review? Okay, this is the next part of his discussion.
Well, U.S. FDA regulatory guidance and vaccines, and there have been modern vaccines. You don't have to pick the old ones. I mean, we've had modern vaccines, shingles vaccines, hepatitis B, meningococcal vaccines, demand a minimum of 2 years of safety data. 2 years by regulatory. In fact, this is kind of written and codified into the regulatory rules for the manufacturers. That was all thrown out and said 2 months for COVID. 2 months. So 2 months of observational data. This idea that we could vaccinate people that were not even tested in the trials, that has never been done before. We have never just thrown a vaccine at somebody without having any data. None. So the very first pregnant woman that was vaccinated here in the United States, it was done with no knowledge of safety and no knowledge of efficacy. And the argument that we've heard, is, well, COVID-19 is a bad illness. 600,000 people have died. The vaccine could help them. We should give it a shot. Come on. We should just give it a shot. While that 600,000 died, I've already told you 85% of that was preventable with early treatment, which was actively suppressed and squashed. And not only that, is if this vaccine can help them, the vaccine better be safe. It better be safe. And my comments on the vaccine are safety, safety, safety. Let's see it. Let's see it. And Americans, just like the Americans should have been getting weekly updates on treatment innovations, Americans should have been getting weekly updates on vaccine safety. Very important. Weekly updates from our federal officials on safety. Super important. Those two things are probably the two largest acts of malfeasance in all of medical regulatory history. It'll go down in history of malfeasance, wrongdoing by those of authority. How come there was no updates on treatment and no promotion of early treatment to reduce hospitalization and death? And now when we release the vaccine, why are there no safety updates? Why are there no attempts for risk mitigation in terms of making the vaccine program safer? How do we have all these vaccines? How do we know that we can vaccinate pregnant women? We know because of years and years and years of safety data. Before a vaccine has ever been injected into a pregnant woman, it's probably been tested for decades before we try in a pregnant woman. We would never out of the box take a brand new technology that's never been tested before, ever. And we know that the vaccine technology produces the dangerous spike protein. It produced the Wuhan spike protein, the spicule on the ball of the virus itself, which damages blood vessels and causes blood clotting, and all of them do. We would never unleash that into a pregnant woman's body. Americans have to understand something is very wrong what's going on. What's going on now in the world, these are examples, are clear-cut examples of wrongdoing that is at such a high level. The groupthink is in the wrong direction in such a consistent and overwhelming way that people are being harmed in an extraordinary fashion.
Yes, indeed. Here's my problem with this vaccine, because we do not know too much about the future of the people who already took the vaccine. We do not know. Safety is not part of that vaccination. I mean, I think we should wait a couple, 3 years. We already, if we vaccinated a few million people, wait for 3-4 years before you vaccinated anybody else. No, you want to vaccinate all of us before they wait any time. You want to make it as fast as you can. Take them to the ground, put the needle on their arm, and give them the injection. That's why I am against it.
Well, Sam, I'm totally against it as well, but I don't want you to think I'm for people going and getting vaccinated. I'm talking about another thing, but he has brought out some really important points about the problems with how this vaccine was rolled out, in terms of it being used for pregnant women, and now they are advocating that children up to the age of 12 are being given a legal right, they're calling it, to get the vaccine. And one of the problems with that is that, as we know, the parents have had to rise up against this stuff happening in the school, including where they wanted girls to be able to get abortions without their parents' consent. So our public schools are becoming a way of intimidating kids. A 12-year-old can make a decision for themselves. Why would they even be making a decision unless the school is confronting them and telling them to do this? So a lot of ethical problems.
I know, Chris, I know people in their 30s, and they do not know how to make some simple, ridiculous decisions. We will ask a 12-year-old to make a decision about taking or not taking the vaccine for COVID-19. I'm not kidding. I know some men and women in America in the 30s cannot make a simple, ridiculous decision about buying a car or buying a house or marrying somebody even or dating somebody, not even dating somebody. It's like, buy a car, man. So what? It's not good cars. Just sell it. Lose a few $100. Big deal.
Yeah, we all know that there's a problem of maturity in America right now among young people, and what used to be
young and old, 30 years old
decision.
I'm not talking about teenagers. I'm talking about in their 30s.
Well, yeah. Okay, I'm making a point to agree with you. When I was 18 years old, you were considered to be an adult and able to make adult decisions at the age of 18. Okay, so maybe somewhere between 18 and 21, you would expect people to be able to make adult decisions. That is not the case anymore. We have a prolonged childhood. Part of that, I believe, is because we've told people that every kid has to go to college. So you're still dependent on your parents, many cases, into your mid-20s. We've prolonged childhood, and that's been very harmful because we have no maturity even at age 30 in many cases. Now, there are people that that age that are mature, but we have a lot more than we would have thought normal that are very immature into their 30s and 40s. Okay, this is the next slide. This is a question asked, and this is a longer segment. This is the longest segment, and the last one's very short, but it says, can you offer any investigative leads to researchers trying to discover why early outpatient therapies for COVID-19 have been suppressed? Trump talked about it tonight in his speech. He said COVID-19 could be treated possibly by hydroxychloroquine, and the whole media went crazy. But now he's asked this question, why have those early therapies been suppressed? And this is his answer.
To make the problem worse than what it is, many methods to make the case count look higher than what it is make the mortality numbers look worse than what they are. many methods to create the reaction out of proportion to the reality. So lockdowns, fears, economic suffering, what have you. All of these things making the pandemic way worse than what it is, okay, to have that occur. More fear, suffering, hospitalization, death, loneliness, lockdown, in order to promote mass vaccinations. These two are tightly linked. Now, mass vaccination at all costs, the world must be mass vaccinated. And human beings on Earth ought to understand at this point in time, what we're seeing is unprecedented. It became known the virus was going to be amenable to a vaccine somewhere around April, May. And at that point in time, therapy was suppressed. Everything, nothing could be published. Everything, the fake Lancet paper, squash treatment, and then prepare the population for vaccination. Once the vaccines come out, they're short-tracked. There's all kinds of enthusiasm regarding it, needles in all the arms, trucks rolling, Americans cheering, and then the mass vaccination program starts off. And then before we know it, we're vaccinating pregnant women. Why are we doing that? That can't be safe. Now we're going to vaccinate COVID recovery patients. Wait a minute. They have complete and robust permanent immunity. No one's ever challenged the immunity of a COVID recovery patient. Why are we vaccinating them? And then it keeps going and going. At first, we vaccinated high-risk people. I didn't really understand vaccinating young healthcare workers because they weren't at risk. There were never any hospital outbreaks in the United States. The only thing that was clear, nursing home workers gave it to nursing home patients. We knew that. So nursing home workers should have been vaccinated. And then maybe high-risk people, and we should call it a day. I always estimated maybe 20 million people need to be vaccinated. But that didn't seem to satisfy the vaccine stakeholders, which are Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, AstraZeneca, and any others that come forward, the CDC, the FDA, and the NIH. And the White House. Massive vaccine stakeholders. You can throw in Gates Foundation, World Health Organization. You can throw those in as well. Massive stakeholders, and they wanted everybody to be vaccinated without exception. No one will escape the needle. We've actually never had this before. And the vaccine process is extraordinary. There's a consent form. It says this is investigational. We don't know if it's going to work. There's only 2 months of data. The side effects could be a sore arm all the way to death, and we don't know. Sign here. We need your identifying information. We need a barcode on the vial. We need you identified, and now you're in a database. You're vaccinated. And so this mass vaccination is extraordinarily concerning. We never vaccinate into the middle of a pandemic, never. We've never had an effective vaccine for respiratory virus, including influenza. It's only modestly effective. We knew from the published data that the attack rates in placebo and the vaccine arms were less than 1%. So we know that the vaccine can have a less than 1% effect in the population. Why would it be any different than the clinical trials? We knew from the clinical trials that it didn't stop COVID-19, so people can get COVID-19 anyway. What would be this incredible drive to vaccinate everybody? And now, oh my Lord, now the vaccine within a few months has been completely weaponized. Now travel is related to the vaccine. People can't go to school without the vaccine. People are losing their jobs without the vaccine. Believe me, there is something very, very potent in this vaccine. It should be disturbing to everybody. The word vaccine ought to be the most disturbing word that they have seen. Now we have 12-year-old children who are told they can decide on their own whether or not they could take a vaccine. So, about 70% of my patients are vaccinated. I'm very pro-vaccine. I've taken all the vaccines myself, about 70%, and they were all vaccinated in December, January, and February. But as we sit here today in May, we have over 4,000 vaccine-related deaths and over 10,000 hospitalizations. The limit to shut down a program is about 25 to 50 deaths. Swine flu, 1976, 25 deaths, they shut down the program. It's not safe. All the vaccines in the United States per year, what AmbuLink gets reported in the database, is about 200. And we're talking about vaccinating probably 500 million injections. Here in the United States, at 100 million people vaccinated, this is far and away the most lethal, toxic biologic agent ever injected into a human body in American history, and it's going strong, with no mention of safety by our officials, with wild enthusiasm by our hospitals and hospital administrators, with doctors supporting it. Doctors are saying now they won't see patients in their waiting room without the vaccine. This problem, COVID-19, was actually from the very beginning. That's what Whitney Webb said. She goes, COVID-19 is actually about the vaccine. It's not about the virus. It's about the vaccine.
Man, oh, man. Man, oh, man. It's exactly, he is 100% right. The movement, the new revolution in America or around the West is vaccination. It doesn't matter if people need it or not. The greatest example, Christy, is the one that vaccinated everybody who got coronavirus, who have a natural immune system, which is much greater than any vaccine you can put in any human body about any virus. Why do you want to push vaccination to everybody? We'll find out later when we see what is the real story of the destruction of humanity by the vaccination.
Okay, the last question that's being asked of Dr. McCullough is this one. Has any agency or individual tried to silence you through threats or other forms of intimidation? And here is his answer.
Sure.
My personal situation, professional situation, is a position of strength. And those who've attempted in any way to pressure, coerce, or threaten me with reprisal have paid an extraordinary price. And I think that's an important message to get out there. There is a position of strength based on principles of compassionate care and of the Hippocratic Oath and of the fiduciary relationship that a doctor has to a patient and a prominent doctor has to a population that supersedes all of those other ill intents. And what I say is, bring them on.
Well, I'm glad that this doctor is not a cis doctor. He's taking his stand in firm and in boldness. And we need to have more doctors like him. We need to have more politicians like him. We need to have more, important than all that, more Christians who stand up for Jesus, stand up for the truth, and more American for our freedom. Otherwise, we're going to lose this country.
I agree totally. That's the whole thing. Some lies will prove fatal, but Jesus is the way, truth, and the life. And as we're, you know, contemplating what can happen, we need to be on the side of the truth, and we need to be on the side of life. We need to be on the side of Jesus, for sure. Okay. Usama, that's pretty much all that I have. So I know you want to start on.
Well, we still have another 40 minutes or so. Actually, this is 40 minutes, 30-some minutes here to talk a little bit more about Abraham. Are you ready?
Yeah, I am.
Well, let me introduce Quran chapter 26. Quran chapter 26 and the poetry of Abraham. The poetry. Why I call it the poetry of Abraham? Because as you're going to hear me, Christy, reading these verses, you know exactly that this is not true. This is not true. Well, I'm going to tell you why in a minute. First of all, I'm going to read to you verses, and then I'm going to stop in Arabic, and then we're going to stop and investigate these verses in English. Listen to the poetry of the Quran. Quran chapter 26, beginning from verse 69. Beginning from verse 69. وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهُمْ نَبَأْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ قَالَ هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِذْ تَدْعُونَ أَوْ يَنْفَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَضُرُّونَ قَالُوا بَلْ وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا كَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ قال أفرأيتم ما كنتم تعبدون. Are you listening, Christy? The own,
yep.
own.
I'm listening.
أنتم وأباكم الأقدمون فإنهم عدو لي إلا رب العالمين الذي خلقني فيهدين والذي هو يطعمني ويسقين. Now here is the yin. He changed the poetry from the ending on to the end in. والذي هو يطعمني ويسقين وإذا مرضت فهو يشفين والذي يميتني ثم يحيين والذي يطعمني أن يغفر والذي أطمع أن يغفر لي خطيئتي يوم الدين. And we're going to stop here. Here is the deal. Here is the deal, Christy. If I am talking to you as a prophet and I'm asking you a question and the question ended with specific poetry and you answer me with a specific end to make what do you call this in English, Christy?
Rhyming.
And when you answer me in the same rhyming back and forth, that does not look like logic, is it?
No.
So if Abraham is speaking to the people, and let's go ahead and start reading these verses in English. Quran 26 and verse 69. Go ahead, read for me, beginning from verse 69.
And recite to them the news of Abraham when he said to his father and his people, what do you serve? Go on.
Keep going.
They said, we serve idols, so our devotion is constant to them. He said, do they hear you when you call? Or do they profit you or harm? They said, yet we found our fathers doing likewise. He said, have you seen what you were serving,
Let's stop it for a second. Now, when you read this in English, you lost the poetry. It's not
right.
What we read. Can you imagine? The question and the answer is perfectly in the same rhyme. I mean, what is the chance that Abraham people are talking with him, all of them in one tone, and they're telling him the same rhyme of the end of every one of these verses? Sound like somebody sitting write poetry, not a true conversation between Abraham
right.
and his father and his people. Are you following me what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything that he's put in there is done to sound good, kind of like a song. You know, sometimes song lyrics are poetic, and it's not right. a conversation that would be recorded in the Bible, for example.
Let me make it even worse than that. I want you to go with me to everywhere in the Quran where Abraham was speaking to his father and to his people. Okay, his father or to his people. The first one we're going to read in Quran chapter 6 and verse 73. I'm going to show you that now Muhammad, throughout the 20-some years writing his Quran, and he talked about Abraham speaking to his father or speaking to his people. Let us see if Muhammad forgot what he mentioned earlier and he's writing a completely different question, a completely different sentence, a completely different answer.
Okay, Quran 6
so,
and...
Quran chapter verse 74.
All right. Okay, here we go. And when Abraham said to his father, Azar, do you take Asnam for gods? Surely I see you and your people are in obvious error.
Now, here obviously Muhammad make a big mistake by calling Abraham's father Azar, but in reality his name is Terah, as we know from the Genesis account. But he's asking, do you worship Asnam? Do you take Asnam as God? Surely I see you and your people in a clear error. This is a sentence given by Abraham in Quran chapter 6 and verse 74. Now, let's move on to verse 114, verses 114, which is Abraham in chapter 9. Chapter 9 and
no,
verse 114.
Sorry.
It's just the statement that Abraham is...
You there?
Seeking forgiveness for his father. 114 of chapter 9.
Okay. And the seeking of forgiveness of Abraham for his father was not but in keeping of a promise which he had promised to him. So when it was shown to him that he was an enemy to Allah, he declared himself innocent of him. Surely Abraham was very meek.
Awa Halim Minhu. Okay. Now, my point is this here. When you hear the conversation between Abraham and his father, it's not really this excited one that, oh, daddy, I'm going to seek forgiveness for you. I make a promise. That's why I'm going to seek Allah. As we're going to continue with the rest of the verses, because it's very important to see the connection between Abraham and his father. And that is obviously the next verse, which I want to read with you. That is Quran chapter 19 and verse 42. 1942.
Okay. When he said to his father, "Oh, my father, why do you serve that which neither hears nor sees nor profits you anything?"
Keep going until 46. Yeah, keep going.
"Oh, my father, surely indeed some knowledge came to me which has not come to you. So follow me. I will guide you to a straight way. Oh, my father, do not serve Satan. Surely Satan was a rebel against the merciful. Oh, my father, surely I fear lest a torment from the merciful touches you, so you will become a friend to Satan." Continue.
"He
said, 'Are you forsaking my gods, O Abraham? If you do not stop that, I will stone you and depart from me. I will stone you and depart from me for a long time.'"
Last verse, verse 47.
"He said, 'Peace be on you. I will ask forgiveness for you from my Lord. Surely he was kind to me.'"
Well, that shows you really Abraham was a very nice guy, that he seek forgiveness for his father, even though his father want to stone him. And it's ridiculous. You stone him and then you're going to be away from him for a long time. But once again, Chris, it is poetry. It is not logic. Abraham will not talk to his father and read. Listen carefully what I'm going to say now. The poetry. "إِذْقَالَ لِأَبِي يَا بَتَى لِمَا تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعْ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا يَا أَبَتِي إِنِّي فِي قَدْ جَاءَنِي مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَمْ يَأْتِيكَ فَاتْبَعْنِي أَهْدِيكَ صِرَاطًا سَوِيًّا يَا أَبَتَى لَا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَنِ عَصِيًّا يَا أَبَتَى إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَنْ يَمِسَّكَ عَذَابٌ مِنَ الرَّحْمَنِ فَتَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيًّا قَالَ أَرَاغِبُ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَئِن لَّمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَاهْجُرْنِي مَلِيًّا سِوَى تَنْتَهِي قال سلام عليك سأغفر لك ربي إنه كان بي حفيا. Even when his father answered him in verse 46, he still ended in the same poetry. I mean, are you kidding me? You're telling your son, I'm going to stone you, or you're going to be gone away from me for a long time. And you put it in a poetry? You worry about the poetry or talk about the message? So the Quran is poetry, it's not a message. And the conversation between Abraham and his father is not that generous one. It's not that calm one. It's not that warm one. "Oh, daddy, I'll be praying for you." Really? I'm going to stone you. "Oh, by the way, I'm going to be praying for you." Okay? Now, let's move on to the next one, which is obviously verse 52 of chapter 21.
Okay.
Chapter 21 and verse 52.
Okay, 21:52. "When he said to his father and to his people, 'What are those statues which you are devoted to?' They said,
The conversation changed. The word is not like what he said earlier.
No.
So, was he talking to them about the same subject over and over again, or it was one-time accident? It's one-time action.
Well, I can't answer that.
It's just, I'm telling you, Muhammad rewrites the story of Abraham. Every time he rewrote it, he cannot remember what he not rewrote it. Make it up, because he did not write anything down. There was no written Quran in Muhammad. So make up the story, and he makes this beautiful poetry, and the poetry itself is a great evidence that it's not true. That's not what took place. That's not the conversation. Look,
it changes.
Listen how he answered in verse 53. Yeah.
They said, we found our fathers serving them. He said, indeed, you and your fathers were in obvious error. They said, have you come to us with the truth, or are you of the sporters? He said, yet your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth who created them, and I am of the witnesses to this.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
That how in the world he can be a witness of the creation if he's not there. But listen to the Arabic now. Listen to the poetry. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا هَذِهِ التَّمْثِيلُ الَّتِي أَنْتُمْ لَهَا عَاكِفُونَ قال وجدنا أباءنا لها عابدين لقد قال لقد كنتم أنتم وأباكم في ضلال مبين قالوا أجئتنا بالحق أم أنت من اللاعبين قال بل ربكم رب السماوات والأرض الذي فطرهم وأنا على ذلك من الشاهدين وتالله لا كيدن أصنامكم بعد أن تولوا مدبرين. You see here, the poetry.
Whoa, that is a
natural conversation, Christy. A natural conversation between you and your son. You're not writing a poetry. You're not sitting on the beach, seeing the sunset or the sunrise, or drinking your cup of coffee and the moon shine above you, and the flower in the garden, and the bird are whispering. So you're making poetry. Listen to some soft music, some jazz music, and you're enjoying your cup of tea, and you're making poetry. That is when you make poetry. But when you have a conversation between Abraham and his father, Abraham and his father and his people, and every time you change the words, and every time they're making poetry.
Yeah, it's very crazy.
This is ridiculous. It is not logical that Abraham is speaking to the people and the people answer him with the same beautiful poetry every time, if it is un or in or on or ooh or whatever.
It's kind of like a Broadway musical or musical movies they used to make. Somebody would come to town.
Okay. You're right.
Well, I'm making the point that someone would come in and they'd start singing a song, and then the people in the town would start singing back. It's not meant to be taken seriously. That's why they call it a musical.
So it is not reality.
Opera.
That's not how people talk, okay?
Right.
Opera, it is written. It's a scenario. There is people who write the scenario, and there's people put the music to it, blah, blah, blah. But that's not. We're talking about natural talk. You will never find in the Bible. You never find in the Bible. Abraham talked to people like that, and people answer him back like that. It doesn't make any sense. Now, there are books in the Bible written in poetry, but it's written by one person. So Isaiah is writing poetry. David is writing poetry. Asaph is writing poetry in their prayer. They are inspired, and they're writing beautiful poetry. If you read it in Hebrew, it's beautiful. But not a conversation between people with each other and have the poetry in it? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Let's move to another one. Chapter 43, verse 26.
Sorry, I had to roll all the way up here. Excuse me, 43. Just a moment. Verse 26. Okay, here we go. And when Abraham said to his father and his people, surely I am innocent from what you serve, except who created me, so surely he will guide me. and he made it an enduring word in his descendants. Perhaps they may return. Should I go on?
Yes, it is. But what I'm saying is the conversation, once again, is between Abraham and his father and his people, and different wording.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it really,
different.
I mean, the thing is,
the
it's all over
still
the...
Have the... Yeah, and the funny thing is they still have the poetry. They always talk to him back in poetry. It's like some poets sit in a classroom and they're making wonderful poetry back and forth.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go back to the passage which we're reading together, which is Quran chapter 26. And let's examine what Muhammad wrote there in the next 15 minutes or so until our time is up. Quran chapter 26, beginning from verse 69. Allah here is speaking to Muhammad to tell the Muslims, to tell the Arabs about the story of Abraham. Here's the news about Abraham. Muhammad is going to tell us exactly what happened between Abraham and his father and his people.
Should I read again?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And recite to them the news of Abraham. When he said to his father and his people, "What do you serve?" They said, "We serve idols." So our devotion is constant to them. He said, "Do they hear you when you call? Or do they profit you or harm?" They said, "Yet we found our fathers doing likewise." He said, "Have you seen what you were serving, you and your ancient fathers? So surely they are an enemy to me, except the Lord of the worlds, who has created me."
How in the world Abraham is telling his father and his people that whatever they're serving are enemy to him? How can an idol be an enemy to Abraham? How can be a statue an enemy to Abraham? Even though we know from the scripture, that most likely Abraham left Babel or the land of the Chaldeans, the city of Chaldeans, literally when he's in his 60s, early 70s. Most likely he did worship all these gods himself. But let's keep going.
Okay. So they surely are an enemy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So surely they are an enemy to me, except the Lord of the worlds who has created me. So he will guide me. And he who feeds me.
Let me stop for a second. Verse 17. These idols or these statues are his enemies. But the Lord of the world is not his enemy. Do you know who is the Lord of the world?
Oh, that's Allah and Satan.
No, but in the Bible, who is the Lord of the world?
Satan.
Satan is going to guide him. So,
he sure is.
Forget about even is that he's worshiping Satan, Abraham, here. If he said the Lord of the world, and he meant God. Okay, he meant Allah, God. Is going to guide him. That mean he was guided before that, or he was not guided before that?
It's saying he will guide me. I don't know.
That mean before Allah guided Abraham, was he on the straight way, or was he lost?
Well, according to the Quran, I assume he was lost.
Exactly. If Allah is going to guide somebody, that means that somebody before Allah starts to guide him, he was not guided. If you are lost in the wilderness, Christy, and somebody say, "Hey, Christy, I will guide you out. I will lead you out of this wilderness." That means you know where you're going, or you were already lost?
No, of course not. If I need to be guided, I don't know where I'm going.
Imagine with me, Abraham 70-some years, and he was not guided, which means he was doing everything what his family is doing, and now Allah is going to guide him. Keep going. Verse 79.
And he who feeds me and gives me drink, and when I'm
really?
Sick.
Whoa. Allah feed Abraham and Allah give him a drink? What? Was he a servant in a restaurant? Was he a cook in a kitchen?
Sounds odd, doesn't it?
Keep going.
And when I'm sick, so he heals me. And he who put me to death then gives me life.
You know how beautiful this is in the Arabic language? When we put in English, we lose the Quran. Let me start with you. Let me start from verse 75. قَالَ فَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْبُدُونَ أَنْتُمْ وَأَبَاءَكُمُ الْأَقْدَمُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوٌّ لِي إِلَّا رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ الَّذِي خَلَقْنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ والذي هو يطعمني ويسقين وإذا مرضت فهو يشفين وهو والذي يميتني ثم يحيين والذي أطمع أن يغفر لي خطيئتي يوم الدين. You see the beautiful here? See the in.
Yeah.
We lose this poetry of the Quran. We put the Quran in English, kiss it goodbye. Now, let's read verse 82 and talk about it for a minute.
And who, I hope, will forgive me of my sins in the judgment day?
Really? God will forgive people in the day of judgment, or will forgive them while still alive?
Well, I think you need to hope you're being forgiven while you're still alive, because that's how you have to come
because
to Christ.
If you die in your sin, Christy, if you die in your sin, will God forgive you in the day of judgment? Under
no,
what justice law? Under what?
No.
Under what condition?
Well, that's not how forgiveness occurs.
What did Abraham not do here in the Quran? What is missing in the life of Abraham concerning forgiveness of sin? What did Abraham do in the
offered,
Bible?
He's not offered any
sacrifice
for forgiveness.
So
right?
Why Allah will forgive Abraham in the day of judgment? Under what condition? Under what rules? Under what laws?
Under the law of the Old Testament, which is the sacrifice
but in
of
the
animals.
Quran, why Allah? What
I don't know.
Was,
in the Quran,
really,
I don't know.
Was Abraham really just hoping that Allah will forgive him?
It
the
says, I hope. It says, I hope. And who? I hope. So he doesn't have any guarantee of forgiveness. It's just he hopes.
83.
My Lord, grant me wisdom and join me with the good.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know.
Keep going.
And give me a truthful tongue among the others.
Keep going.
And do not put me to shame a day that they are raised. A day neither money nor children will benefit, except to him who comes to Allah with a whole heart. When
are you missing some verses in the middle? Did you? What about verse 85? Did you read verse 85?
Oh, I'm sorry, I did miss that. Okay. And make me the heirs of the Garden of Bliss.
It's like Abraham ordered Allah, okay? Do this. I mean, are you reading the words of Abraham, 84, 85, 86, 87, 88? There's no, please forgive me. There's no, please give me this. No. Do this, do that. As if Allah is working for Abraham.
Yes, indeed. These are not prayers. I mean, you know. I don't believe that's how we pray.
It's ridiculous. How Muhammad imagined that's how Abraham talked to Allah. How about 86?
And forgive my father, surely he was of the lost.
How many times did Abraham ask Allah to forgive his father throughout the Quran?
I don't know. Every time we read about it.
But if it is true, if this has really happened, first of all, we know from the scripture that Abraham's father traveled with Abraham and his son, his brother, and his nephew from the oral Kildanin, from the city of Kildanin, all the way to the promised land. In their way, his brother died, Abraham's brother died, the father of Lot died, and then Terah died. So the idea is that Abraham seeking forgiveness of his father's sin all over the Quran is a comedy. He did not continue to worship the gods. He actually left the city of Kildanin with his son to go to the land of Canaan.
Right. So all this is just totally false anyway.
87. What do we have in 87?
And do not put me to shame a day they are raised.
Okay. That is the day of judgment. What did he say in verse 82? What did Abraham say in 82?
And who I hope will forgive my sins in the judgment day.
Well, if Allah will forgive, he is hoping to Allah forgive his sins. How in the world he will make him ashamed on the same day? He's repeating the request of Allah. Forgive me. Don't put me to shame. Forgive my father. 88.
A day neither money nor children will benefit.
What money and children will do is anything about the day of judgment. Do you think anybody have any logic that your kids or your money will help you? What, he's going to give Allah some money in the day of judgment? I mean, what is the logic here? Your sons are going to pay for your sin? Or you're going to give Allah some money, give the angels some money so they let you out of hell?
I don't know if he thought that, but it's odd that he said that.
89.
Except to him who comes to Allah with a whole heart.
You mean you're going to go to Allah on the day of judgment with a whole heart and you'll be saved from hell? Because you're going to repent on the day of judgment? I mean, don't you think that we're right of order here, we're right of out of time, we're doing everything backwards?
It would seem that way.
Okay, next verse.
When the garden will be brought near to the fearer.
So Allah will bring the garden to the fearer. It's because you fear Allah, you're going to get to the garden. Good. How about 91?
And hell went forth for the seduced.
Do you know who seduced these people?
Allah.
So Allah seduced them, and Allah made them sinners, and then Allah will send them to him. I think that's wonderful, isn't it?
Well, I'll just say, you did a very good program on this the other day. I did post it on the Straight Way of Grace Facebook page. People need to watch that.
Thanks, Christy. Thank you. 93.
And when it was said to them, where are those whom you were serving without Allah? Oh, I'm sorry. I started in the second verse.
Yeah, it's okay. Keep going.
Will they help you or will they win?
Do you think really God will say that or some angels will say that? Oh, where is the idols you used to worship? Are they going to help you now? Oh, poor Christy, you're going to spend eternity in hell and your statue you used to worship cannot help you. What is that?
It's stupid. Because that sounds like something a person says.
But
yeah,
we've got pages in the Quran, Christy. We've got verses in that chapter. And Abraham is making this up. Now, we move from Abraham speaking to somebody else speaking. Did you realize the changes in the scenario here?
I realize it doesn't.
And
doesn't make a lot of sense.
Who is speaking?
Yes.
Who is speaking in verse 84, 85, 86, 87? Who is speaking there?
Well, I suppose that that's supposed to be Abraham speaking.
Exactly. Abraham is speaking to Allah, asking him to give him a truthful tongue, asking him to make him the inheritance of the garden, asking him to forgive his father, asking him to not to grieve his heart, asking him to, and then he moved to 88. He's talking about somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, talking
that's
about
weird.
Your children will not help you, your money will not help you, unless you come to Allah with a sincere heart. And then you talk about hell. And then talk about the people who are in hell. Somebody else is asking them in verse 92 and verse 93. Somebody else is, it's not Abraham now. Abraham went bye-bye. Abraham is no longer in the picture, Christy Johnston. It is somebody else in hell is asking the people who used to worship some other gods about, oh, who are those whom you used to worship without Allah? Will he help you? Will he guide you? 94.
So they will be poured into it, them and the seduced, and the devil's troops together. Who is talking? I don't know.
Only Allah knows. 96.
They said while they were quarreling in it, we swear by Allah, surely we were in obvious error.
They're in hell. Just use your imagination.
Yep.
These people are in hell. And they swear by Allah. I swear by Allah. Really? You swear by Allah in hell? You know that swearing by Allah is what causes people to go to hell? But they're in hell and they still swear by Allah.
That's crazy.
98.
When we made you equal with the Lord of the worlds.
You know who they're talking to now? The people in hell are speaking to their idols as if their idols are sitting there listening to them and they're having a conversation.
That's crazy. Yeah, they're talking to their idols and they made a boo-boo.
Sure. 99.
And none led us astray except the criminals.
You mean Allah is a criminal?
Apparently, because he's the one that leads astray.
Exactly. Yep. Allah leads astray to whom he will, and he guides whom he will. So now we know that Allah is a criminal, and we know Allah is the one who led them astray, and now Allah is put into hell, and it's the whole thing is chaos.
So we will not have intercessors.
Yep.
And no intimate friend.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have a second turn, so surely we will be among the believers.
Okay. If Allah will return us to earth, for sure we're going to be believers. What if Allah returned to the earth and he chooses to lead us astray again and again and again? What are you going to do about it? Here we go, your beautiful cars going by.
I told you. Yep.
103, Christian, 104. Let's read the
surely in this is a sign, and most of them were not believers. And surely your Lord.
What sign?
I have no idea.
And surely your Lord
is the dear, the merciful. Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you, Muhammad. Thank you, Allah. Thank you, Muhammad, to learn about Abraham in these literally, how many verses here? 104, 16. Whoa, what is going on? You guys have a good time there. You have a great time there.
Well, there are some large vehicles that are traveling down the road carrying other vehicles. Anyway, it's quite complicated, but everybody's okay. There's nothing wrong.
Good, good. You're talking about 35 verses of nonsense, Christy. 35 verses of nonsense to learn about Abraham. What did we learn about Abraham new in these verses? How much truth did we learn from these 35 verses about Abraham when we compare it to the true account of Abraham in Genesis account?
I don't think he learned anything, and it just repeated a bunch of foolish things that are not true. It just repeated the story, but said it differently, repeated it differently every time.
What I'm trying to say, our dear Muslim friends who memorize the Quran, and many of them memorize it in Arabic without even knowing what they're saying. These things, they got the juries. These things, they got all the facts. These things, they got all the truth. And they know Abraham much better than the Jews or the Christian can ever know Abraham. But in reality, they have an empty box. It's called the Quran. I'm not kidding you. The Quran is an empty box when it comes to Ibrahim. There is no truth in such a thing as Muhammad and Muslims claim to be a revelation from God. Because none of what we have read about Abraham is true. None of this thing is true. Abraham did not ask these questions. The people did not answer these questions, answered with the same words. And the evidence, just read the Quran. Every time Muhammad repeated the story, he repeated different. As we're going to see next week, Lord's willing, in Quran chapter 29, beginning from verse 16. Listen, go to 29:16 again, Christy. 29:16.
Okay, hold on.
We only have 1 minute.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't have it right there. 29:16. Hold on.
That's what we're going to catch up, Lord's willing.
And Abraham, when he said to the people, serve Allah and fear him. This is best for you if you were knowing.
Now, why would they not read this before? This is a different wording. Next verse, 17.
Surely you only serve idols without Allah, and you create a lie. Surely those whom you serve without Allah do not have provision for you. So seek from Allah the provision and serve him and give thanks to him. To him you will return.
All right. Different wording about the same story of Abraham as if it is a completely different Abraham is speaking to completely different people, not his father, not his people as he had done before. Anyway, our time is up. Christy, thank you so much for producing this show. And I cannot wait to see what the Lord is going to do next week. Hopefully, prayerfully. Everything will go well, and we will meet again next Saturday, Lord is willing.
Yeah, pray about the Arizona audit, okay?
Sure.
God bless everybody.
Absolutely.
Good night.
Good night. God bless you all.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now, perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me. to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.